Hello and welcome to our program today as we study from God's Word. My name is Richard Massey and I want to welcome you to our Bible study today. We're going to be studying from the book of Romans chapter 12 and we're going to be talking about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I love the Bible because it not only tells us what to do, but it tells us how to do it. And so if you have your Bible with you, we hope that you'll open your divine word of God and let God speak to us through his word. Romans 12, beginning in verse 1, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now he's told us what to do, and in the following verses, and in the book of Bible itself, it tells us how to become a living sacrifice. Furthermore, in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let God's good and perfect will reprogram your mind. Let your mind be renewed by studying your Bible, believing your Bible, and doing what your Bible says. And so it's going to tell us what to do and how to do it. It's going to tell us to be a living sacrifice. It's going to tell us to renew our minds. And it's going to tell us now how to do that. And so let us study this, trying to put our finger on, and we can certainly do this. And so I'd like to encourage you to study this passage after we are done with our study today for further examination of your life and of what the Bible says. In Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, and of course, Paul was an apostle, it was given unto him, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so we, beloved, are not to think of ourselves more highly than another person. We may be a different color, but God made all the colors. We may be of a different educational background, but it doesn't make any difference. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. And so do not think of yourself more highly than someone else. You may know more Bible than someone else, but that doesn't mean you should exalt yourself above them. One of the seven things listed in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 is the things that God hates that are an abomination unto him, and a proud look is right there at the top of the list. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. This is how you offer yourself a sacrifice to God. This is how you renew your mind. Is you lower yourself, you humble yourself as Jesus did, and suffer and serve God just as Jesus did. Verse 4 says, For as we have many members in one body, there's only one church, we have a lot of members of that one church, and all members have not the same office. We're not all male, we're not all female, we're not all 60 years old, we're not all 13 years old. We've got different ages, everybody has different talents, different levels, but we're one church. This is how you renew your mind. This is how you serve God acceptably. You understand, in the church, there's one church, and we all have different abilities and talents. Verse 5, Romans 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We're all joined together. We're a family of God. We are a body of Christ. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. These are spiritual gifts that they had in the first century. One of the gifts was prophecy. You can read more about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 9, and really the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. Also 1 Corinthians 14, you can read about the spiritual gifts also in Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 11. So some were given the gift of prophecy. And then it says in verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We all can do something that's important to the body of Christ. It's like a human body. We have fingers, they can do things. We have a heart, it can do things that needs to be done. We have a liver, we have arms, all of them work together. Every cell in our body works together for the good of the whole body, and that's the way we are in the church. And so don't think of yourself more highly. The eye shouldn't say to the ear, I can see, so I'm better than you. That's not how it works in our human body, and that's not how it is to work in the Lord's church. So this is how we offer ourselves a living sacrifice to God. We realize that our fellow brethren are the same as we are. We all need the blood of Christ. We all need salvation the same way. We're going to be saved the same way. We're going to be saved in the same body. And so let us help one another. This is how we renew our minds, verse 2. This is how we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, Romans 12 and verse 1. Then he goes on to say, he not only says what to do, but here's how you do it. Let love be without dissimulation. Don't be hypocritical. Don't tell people you love them when behind their back you hate them. Don't say, hey, good to see you, and in your heart say, I don't like that person. Let your love be true and genuine. Work on that. We all need to work on that so that our love is genuine and true and not pretended. Then verse 9 also says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. This is how we renew our minds. We get our minds, and you know, we are bombarded through television, movies, that evil is good and good is evil. And through media and through educational facilities, people teach that evil is good. Well, no, we're not supposed to believe that. We don't believe abortion is good. We don't believe stealing is good. We don't believe drinking is good. We abhor that which is evil. We cleave to that which is good. And that's how you please God. That's how you offer your body a living sacrifice. You renew your mind. And this information here tells us how to do that. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. We ought to prefer Christians, members of the Church of Christ. We ought to prefer them, and we ought to be kind to them. You ought to be kind to the people in your house, in your family, your mom and dad, your wife, your husband, your children. We're to be kind. That's how we're to be in God's house. Not mean, not ugly. We live in a world that's mean and vicious, and we're not to be that way. Not in the Lord's church. And if you are that way, you need to change. If you have a hot temper and you can't control your tongue, you need to change that in order to please God, in order to be not conformed to this world, but in order to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 11 says, not slothful in business. We live in a world, in a time, where people don't want to work. They want a job, they want a paycheck, but they don't want to work. That's not the Christian. The Christian is someone who is not slothful in business. He is fervent in spirit. He is serving the Lord. You're actually serving the Lord when you're on your job. I don't care if you're working at McDonald's or you're working at the bank or you're working for the police force or the ambulance service. You're working for the Lord. You need to work. And that's what God wants you to do. That's the renewing of your mind. That's how you offer a living sacrifice to God. Verse 12 of Romans 12 says, rejoicing in hope. Rejoice. I don't know how many times the Bible tells us to be happy, to rejoice, to be glad we go to worship, to be glad in our brethren, to be glad and joyful in our salvation, to have joy in the Lord. And so the Christian is to be a happy person, a joyful person. And certainly we have hope, the hope of heaven. That ought to bring joy to our lives. We ought to be patient in tribulation when there's trouble, when things aren't going well. They may not go well at home or on the job or in the church even. We're to be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Always pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What does God want us to do? How do we live a Christian life? We pray. We're a praying people. Christians are praying people. Christians are loving people. Christians are hardworking people. Christians do not think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. Christians are offering their bodies a living sacrifice. Christians are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's who we are. That's who we are. Have a renewed mind and realize who we are. Romans 12 and 13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. We are to be a helpful people, a hospitable people. We are to be distributing. You know, remember Acts 6, you had your Grecian widows and you have your Jewish widows, and the Grecian widows were being neglected, and so they set forth 7 men to take care of that problem, and they distributed all of the widows equally. That's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to be helping our brethren out. The Bible says, do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6. Then verse 14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Christians are people who treat everybody with kindness, even our enemies. We pray for our enemies. We bless our enemies. We help our enemies. That's who we are. We're an assembling people. We're a singing people. We're a giving people. Christians are Bible studying people. That's who we are. That's the nature of who we are. That's how you renew your mind, is by blessing them that persecute you. We're never trying to tell our enemies off. We're trying to make friends with our enemies. We're trying to be kind to our enemies. Verse 15 of Romans 12 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Who are we? Who are Christians? There are people who've had their minds renewed. We're not conformed to this world. We're transformed. Well, what do we do when people weep? We weep with them. What do we do when people have good news? We rejoice with them. If someone has a child born to their family, a grandchild, we rejoice with them. If someone dies in their family and there's sadness there, what do we do? We are sad with them. We weep with them. That's who we are. Verse 16 of Romans 12 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Let's all have the same mindset. Let's all do the same thing to one another. That's who we are. Verse 16 says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. We're not arrogant people. Who's a Christian? Well, he's not arrogant. He's humble. He doesn't seek the high things. He seeks the low things. He wants to help the man of low estate. And then verse 16 says, be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think you know more than others. Don't be conceited. I've got an education. That guy over there doesn't. He's a member of the church. I'm a member of the church. I'm better than he is because I'm more educated than him. I make more money than him. I've got more say, more intelligence, more knowledge, more wit. I'm more savvy than he is. I'm better than him. No, you're not. No, you're not. Be not wise in your own conceits, the Bible says. Don't be conceited. That's who Christians are. They're fair-minded with one another. They're just with one another. They condescend. If someone poor comes in the building to worship, we run over there and we shake their hand just like we do anybody else. That's who we are. Then it says in verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, we're not in the payback business. Well, that guy hit me, I'm going to hit him back. That guy said something ugly to me, I'm going to say something ugly back. That's not who we are. That's not who a Christian is. A Christian does not return evil for evil. We don't do that. That's not what God wants. You haven't had the renewing of your mind if that's what you do. But it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Who are Christians? We're honest people. We tell the truth. We're people of integrity. We're people who are honest and true, and we work hard, and we're loving to our wives. We're kind to our husbands. We're people who respect our neighbors. We love our neighbors. That's who we are. That's who a Christian is. We do not want the name of God to be blasphemed by our misbehavior. We want to be good in our world. Goodness is powerful. If you're good to someone, it has power to help them to change their heart. If you're mean to them, you're not going to change them a bit. You need to be kind to everyone. Verse 18 of Romans 12 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, the responsibility is on me. It's on you. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with an old cranky neighbor. Live peaceably with a guy at work who's hard to get along with. Live peaceably. Live peaceably. As much as lieth within you, do all that you can to live peaceably with all men. That's who a Christian is. That's who we are. That's our DNA. We have had our minds renewed by the power of the gospel. The gospel should be changing us. We shouldn't be changing the gospel to fit our lives. No, the gospel is to change our lives. Then listen to this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to get even with anybody. Someone says, well, that person molested my child. I'm going to get even with them. No, you don't have to do that. God is going to take care of that. You leave that vengeance to God. You pray for that person. And let God deal with the punishment. He knows how to punish people. He knows how to chasten people. Trust God. Let God settle the score. We're not in the score settling business. We're here to live as good as we can. If you become mean like they are, then you've not been transformed. You've been conformed to this world if you are mean like they are. Then Romans 12 and verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. What? God wants me to feed my enemy? Yeah, God wants you to do that. He wants you to actually try to make a friend out of your enemy. He wants you to destroy your enemy by becoming his friend, and you can become the best friends possible. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You may remember that Saul, King Saul in the Old Testament, he didn't like David. He didn't like David because David got more honor than he did by the women who sang a song. And for that, he chased David for years trying to kill him. And David, instead of being mean back to Saul, was nice to Saul. He had the chance to kill Saul one time in a cave, and he didn't do that. And it caused Saul to be regretful. He said, you're a better man than I am, David. And so it softened Saul's hard heart for just a little bit. And that's the power of kindness. And so if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. That's what God says to do. And it's challenging. I admit it's very challenging. But then notice the very last verse of chapter 12 of Romans. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what God wants. Overcome evil with good. You do good to your fellow man. Even if they're an evil fellow man, you do good to them. Don't let their evil overcome you. You overcome their evil with good. Romans 12 in verse 21. Now we're talking about how to be a living sacrifice unto God. God not only tells us what to do, he tells us how to do it. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is how you do that. Romans 12, is telling us how to do that. And I'd like to go a little bit further here today as we have chance and go into Romans 13, the following. Now, man broke these passages down into chapters and verses, so this chapter 12 actually keeps on going into chapter 13. Now, to be renewed in our minds and to offer God the living sacrifice, what he's going to say now is we must be obedient to the government. We must be obedient to the higher powers. That's who are Christians? Christians are law-abiding citizens. Christians do good to people who are evil to us. That's who we are. We are a people who worship God. We serve God. We study God's word. We do what he says. That's who we are. If you're a Christian, that's who you are. That's who you should be. Now, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul, that includes me and you, be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God has ordained governments. He wants there to be law and order for our good. I'm glad we have police force, FBI, CIA. They're supposed to be protecting us and letting us worship freely and spread the gospel freely without people harming us. God has set those powers in place. Verse 2 of Romans 13 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Don't resist the good laws of a government. Now, there are evil laws, of course. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Do you see that? Romans 13 and 2. You resist your government, you're going to receive damnation. God has set those higher powers in place for there to be law and order. Listen to this, verse 3 of Romans 13. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's what he wants. He wants evil works to be brought under control. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Let's do good. Let's be law-abiding citizens. Let's don't be out there trying to rebel against the laws, because God says we'll be damned. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God. The government is a minister of God to thee for good. He's there for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. If you break the law is going to put you in jail. That's what it's supposed to do. But if you obey the laws of the land, you won't have anything to fear. That's the way it's supposed to work. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Christians are to be law-abiding citizens. Christians are to be loving and kind. We're members, all members of the one body. We're not to be proud. We're to have genuine love for one another. That's who we are. Read this chapter. Read it again. Read it again. Embed it into your minds so that you will be the person that God wants you to be. We must do this in order to get to heaven. That's why this passage is in the Bible. I want to thank you for listening today and studying about the Christian life and studying about the transformed life and the renewing of our mind. I hope this helps you to serve God in a better way, to grow in your faith toward God. Thank you for tuning in today. We're glad to have this time, this special and important time together, to talk about these things. May God bless you as you continue to study and study this chapter often so that you'll be what God wants you to be. Until next time, may God bless and keep you. Stay strong.